Okay. Happy to be here. Really loud. All right, well, let me pretend like I can see. Stop pretending like I can see. All right, so I'm going to open up in prayer. All right. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all the word that you've already given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it flows with what you've already put on my heart. And I thank you, Lord, also for the testimony, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for using me as your vessel, Lord, that what you put inside of me in preparing for this sermon, that you will use me to share it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So we just praise you, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, to continue to be here, Lord, because you love us so much. And all we want to do is show you how much we love you too. So I thank you, Father, for using me in the manner that you're going to use me. And I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. So I am so excited to be here. I am going to be talking about the Beatitudes. And I didn't really know much about the Beatitudes. Of course, I've heard of the Beatitudes, but I didn't really like ever go deep into it. And part of the reason why I didn't go deep into it is because I couldn't get past the verse 3. Because poor in spirit, I couldn't understand that. I didn't get that. And I'm going to read it. But just to kind of give you background, the Beatitudes are wonderful statements of Jesus Christ about the blessings of God upon a person's life that's choosing to walk the Christian walk. It's been a privilege over these last few weeks in deepening my understanding of what Jesus is speaking about a life that's blessed by God. Everyone wants to be blessed, because the opposite of being blessed is being cursed. And I'm feeling like when I'm asked to do sermons, I'm always doing a sermon that's talking about the blessings or the curses of life. So that must be my niche. But I thank God that he introduced me, he showed me the Beatitudes, because it's been life-changing. And so, like I said, everyone wants to be blessed. You don't want to be cursed. We want to be blessed in life. We want to be blessed in death. And we want to be blessed in all of eternity. And so that leads me to the title of my lesson, The Pursuit of Happiness. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. All right. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So here Jesus is speaking about a life and people blessed by God, leading me to my question, am I pursuing a life under the blessing of God? The Beatitudes show how we can make progress in the Christian life, and once you see, you'll see how a person can grow in the Christian life And then you'll understand where you're at right now and where I need to get off to be able to understand and figure out how I need to grow to be like Jesus Christ. I find the Beatitudes to be very compelling. And I trust and I hope that you will see the how profound this teaching and learning has been for me and how it's talked to my heart. So that takes me back to my question. And I'm going to expand on it a little bit more. Am I the person that Jesus is describing in the Beatitudes? Am I displaying in my life the marks that Jesus is talking about? It doesn't matter if I think I'm blessed because I have accomplishments and I have all the things and desires that I understand right now that I want and need. It's having God to tell me that I'm blessed.
Okay.
Is what ultimately matters. And that's what he's speaking to right now. This was the Sermon on the Mount. This is what people gathered around to hear him tell them firsthand how to be blessed and how to live a blessed life.
Amen.
After you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So deeply searching my own life and meditating on the Beatitudes, I feel that it's leading me to worship even more. What I like is that what you hear from Jesus, you see in Jesus. It's totally integrity in the Son of God. This preacher practices what he preaches in every degree and every respect. And with that, we're able to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And worship happens as we get a glimpse of this glory. So how do I use this? How do I put these Beatitudes to work in my life and see God working in his truth through his Holy Spirit? So as we learn together right now, there are going to be three points that I'm kind of build off of. And the first is going to be using the Beatitudes as a tool for discernment. And what I mean by that is, what are the distinguishing marks of a Christian or a child of God? How would you know to spot a Christian? Or to make it more personal, how do I know if I'm acting as a Christian and not self-deceived? It goes beyond believing. Accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior is the first step. But am I hearing Jesus' words? Am I putting it in practice? These are the things that we are and we should be pursuing as Christians. And what are the, and showing actually, what are the evidence of these things in your life?
Go ahead, man.
So I'm gonna refer back to the passage, but I'm gonna go backwards. And I'm only gonna read parts and I'm gonna paraphrase what I think the question that we should pull out of it. So going to verse 9, okay. Blessed are the peacemakers. So you have to ask yourself, and this is you utilizing the tool of discernment. Am I a person who brings peace? Does peace follow me? Does follow me because it lives in me? Or do the people in my home or workplace experience tension when I'm around because of the turmoil that's within me? Okay, so blessed are the peacemakers. All right, next check. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is the condition of my heart? To what extent is it marked by purity? Or to what extent is it marked by impurity? Am I completely trusting and have the confidence that God will bring me through? Next check, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. What am I doing in the business, and this is a hard one, of forgiving others? You know, that's really tough. Do I forgive quickly? Am I showing mercy to the weaknesses and the failings and the shortcomings of other people? Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Does this describe you today? If I go one day without food, and at the end of the day, I'm probably going to say, I love lemon pepper wings from Wing Zone. That's not an endorsement, but it's true. You're welcome. No. So if I did not eat anything, that's probably the first place I would head to, is going to Wing Zone and getting some lemon pepper wings, because I'm probably really hungry. Is that how you feel about pursuing a life that is marked by the righteousness of God? When you hunger for Him, the thirst for righteousness. Next check, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Am I submitting my life to God even when it's costly, at any cost? And only you and God know what you need to lay down before Him and submit. Costly is what you understand, and what you feel like, oh my goodness, if I do this, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. So you have to substitute it with, am I willing to submit at any price? Thank you. I love interaction. Yes. Verse 4, check. Blessed are those who mourn. That means that, and that was another tricky verse. If I'm mourning over my sins in a way that I'm gradually beginning to hate what I used to love.
I love it.
Yeah. Come on. Am I coming to a place of despising what I once chose? Or am I remaining the same? And that was another verse with the Beatitudes that made me want to stay away from it. I didn't know what that was really saying, because I didn't have the Holy Spirit giving me new perspective. Next check. And the last one, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now I'm going to expand on this a little bit later, but the question is, am I humbling myself before God? So Jesus is speaking of a reality of a godly life. The Beatitudes is describing what a true Christian is like. This is not intended to say how to become a Christian, how to get salvation. You've already did that. You've already accepted it. And if you haven't, the opportunity is there. All you have to do is accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, Jesus Christ of your life. So I encourage you to use the Beatitudes as a tool for discernment, and to regularly examine our own spiritual condition.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This is just too big to leave unconsidered. So next, the second point, using the Beatitudes as a key to progress. Notice each of the virtues that Jesus speak of flow from the one before. Meaning there's order, development, progress. There's a pathway. So just to divide it up, now I'm gonna start from the beginning again, verse 3. So the first three Beatitudes deal with our need, or the roots of a godly life. Verse 3, we do not have what it takes to live as God commands. So poor in spirit is saying, we can't do it. And understanding that need for God,
that's right,
is so critical with applying and understanding and progressing in your life as a true Christian. We mourn because, verse 4, check. we mourn because seeing our inability, because we become more aware that our sins are many. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, that's a need, because we're realizing this is hard. This is too much. Verse 5, we realize we do not have the ability to direct our own lives wisely. So the first three Beatitudes, if you look at that as it deals with our need or the roots of a godly life. Now, what comes out of these roots is that our recognition of our own needs permeates the soul as a believer. So what's going to come out is life. Life is coming out of these roots. It's bringing awareness of our need. Going to verse 6. Longing for the righteousness that we do not have, so that I may pursue or seek to move forward to be more like Christ, who is the righteous one. In other words, gaining the passion to pursue life, a life that is pleasing to God. And then the next, once you have, you're working on the root, you understand life is available, then you're yielding fruit. And how you're yielding fruit is verse 7, forgiveness. Verse 8, pure in heart. Verse 9, peace. So there's a root life fruit pattern with the Beatitudes, and we're the orchard. Okay, but there's a last beatitude, and that's going into verse 10 through 11, the outcome. This is, paraphrasing, this is saying the person who pursues this godly life and lives under the blessing of God will be persecuted by the world. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So he already knows that people are just not going to like us. And that's okay. Because he does. So in regards to progress, you grasp onto the next beatitude by laying hold of the one before. So to give a visual, I am going to ask my brother, Deacon Demetrius McBride, to come up and help me with giving a visual. Okay. So thank you, sir. So do you remember playing on monkey bars? How many remember playing? How many people know what a monkey bar is? Okay. They might have fancier stuff now. Okay, what about rings that just, you know, you kind of swing? Yeah, okay, that might be a better one. Yeah, because monkey bars gave you blisters and everything. So if you just, a handle, and you're swinging, and you're advancing to the next. Okay, so just to give you perspective, it wasn't recommended when you're on the monkey bar to go from the first one and go all the way to the fifth. That was not a good strategy. So I have Demetrius that's gonna kind of act out my words. So let's say, starting on the first bar or ring of the platform, you're there. And you're building up that momentum. You're recognizing, I don't know if I can do this. Your arms are getting stronger. You holding on, but you ain't have to do much but just jump and just hang on it. So now you're getting ready to advance. But before you advance, you're asking yourself, can I really stop doing what I was doing before? I think I want to try. So I'm going to go ahead and bless and go on for the morning. I'm going to mourn over my sins. I'm going to get through this. God, yes. So I'm building up that momentum. I'm building up that momentum. And I'm going to that second bar or second ring right now. I'm taking it. I'm letting go. You missed. So we're back on the platform again. Shall we start? I'm pouring spirit. I don't got what it takes, but I can reach this first bar. Blessed are those who mourn. So I get to go to the next. Because I'm learning. Woo. I think he went three. Really long leaps. Yeah. Blessed are the meek. So I'm saying that I'm willing to submit at any cost, even if it costs. I'm willing to submit my life so I can keep going forward. Because the Holy Spirit is working within me and helping me to advance through this journey of my Christian life. So these marks on me are showing through that I understand that I'm poor in spirit and that I am mourning my past sins and that I am meek and that it's going to cost. And now I'm seeking righteousness. I'm hungering for righteousness. Yes. I want to be filled. So I'm getting ready for that momentum again. I'm about to take this jump, this leap of faith, because I know I have the Holy Spirit with me. So I'm taking it. But you might have to pace yourself like this. I mean, it's not like a matter of just jumping, because you saw what happened the first time. I think he got three steps down now. Yeah, maybe three levels. So now I'm going to understanding that I can forgive others. Pastor, I don't know if I can forgive her. Pastor, I don't know if I'm pure in heart. I'm not thinking right. So I'm going to keep going. Thank you, God. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for letting me understand my need and rooting my life in you. Yes. Thank you for bringing life and awareness of the fact that I need you. And now I'm yielding fruit. I'm ready to keep going forward. I'm ready to start forgiving. I'm ready to, you got to move, though. You got to jump. Let's give a hand clap for her. That was perfect. I think he wants some more. Are you ready for some more? But this is why I think we're good. I think the visual is, you okay, all right. No, I think I got it, yeah. Thank you. I love Demetrius. So this is why I think the Beatitudes are simply profound, and the concept in applying to your life will change you. So how do we get there? We have to recognize and we have to understand that we do not have what it takes. But you keep getting back up and you keep saying to God, I recognize I need you.
That's right.
The key is getting a picture in your mind of building that momentum by getting into the word, by praying, by worshiping, and asking God for help where you know that you're weak and that you're not ready or willing to change. But you can take your time, and no one should tell you how fast it should take you to advance.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Like I said when I first started, I can think that I'm blessed. My family can think that I'm blessed. My friends can think that I'm blessed. but it's about God saying that I'm blessed. That is what a Christian life looks like. So I encourage you to focus on searching your own hearts and pursuing a blessed life that bears fruit that will glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So in closing, using the Beatitude, the third point, use it as an opportunity to worship. This is how you live the Christian life daily. I want to be a person who forgives, pure at heart, confidence, total trust, integrity in God. I want to bring peace to people around me, even if they're not bringing peace to me. But I'm aware now that I don't have what it takes. My sins are too many, so I need you to help me, Father. So let's be diligent in searching our own lives. And all of our, like I said, all of our accomplishments means nothing without him. It's not saying don't be successful, don't accomplish, don't go out and live life abundantly. Just do it with him. So Jesus left the riches of heaven and embraced our poverty. Okay. So he preaches what he teaches. So I'm about to show you how he did all these things that he's telling us that we can do in the Beatitudes. So let's see him. He was humbled to the place of being nothing. He mourned over our sins and the sins of Jerusalem, for he had none. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he submitted himself to the Father, even if it cost him his life. Not my will, but your will be done. Then came back as the risen king to give life and showing us forgiveness, purity in heart, and provide us peace. Yet he is the blessed one. He was persecuted by the world for righteousness. There is power in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen.